Hey, everybody. Welcome to Pittsburgh Comic Podcast number 47. Holy cow, we've almost been doing this year. Kind of mishmash this week. A couple things in the news I want to talk about. And I know Adam wants to talk some X-Men. Or maybe not. He's changing his mind as we speak. But I'm Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics.
Adam Russell.
Joe F.
Matt Lytle.
Ryan Sargent.
And Jeremy Dan.
Making his triumphant return, but he really wants to watch the hockey
Joe,
game.
Joe, the heartbreaker F.
Well, yes. Or Joe's breaking hearts all day long in the Jeez. Comic shop.
I will not confirm or deny.
Okay, I figured there were a couple things in the news recently that I wanted to talk about. First one, it was on, was announced Marvel finally made their big press announcement about exactly what Spider-Man is going to be about.
Which is all what we exactly thought it was going to be about.
Right. It's been classified for all this time, and you know, in June is going to be the most important thing ever in the history of the Marvel Universe. So apparently it's going to be 616 Peter Parker meeting Ultimate Miles Morales. And pretty much the view in the store has kind of been, oh.
Is there a non-Ultimate Miles Morales?
There's not, no.
Oh.
Not yet. Maybe
not
he sticks
yet.
Around.
Ooh, that could
oh,
be.
There's a conspiracy for you.
Are they going to bring back the 2099 guy, too?
Now, see, I remember when Peter Parker met the 2099. That was like in a Spider-Man Ultimate or something.
It was
Miguel Sepulveda.
Oh, wait, so they're already repeating their idea. So Miles Morales isn't all that big deal. We've already had a Hispanic.
Wait, what did you call him?
Spider-Man.
Miguel Sepulveda, that was his name.
I thought his name was O'Hara.
I believe it
was. Oh, it might have been
O'Hara. Yeah,
I know he was.
My mistake.
Ah.
Oops.
Yeah.
With a name like O'Hara, how could he not be?
Yeah, that's
well, Miles Morales is
Where did you get that last name, though? Is there a character with that?
I mean, that's a relatively like a, common I, Spanish I, last name.
Oh, okay. I just want to make sure, because I'm like, that's a big name for you to just pick out of nowhere.
Sepulveda.
I'm pretty sure that's the guy that drew the first issue of Stormwatch.
There we go.
Holy connecting non sequitur dots.
So if we want to get really conspiracy theory on this, maybe they're going to keep Miles in the main universe. When Phoenix destroys it, that way regular Peter Parker can still be alive in the Ultimate Universe.
Ooh.
Before the
well, isn't Nick Fury happens. Still there? Oh, never mind. I'm sorry. Ultimate Nick Fury. Didn't he switch places during Supreme Power?
Because Miles Morales has proven to be such a popular character.
He's the most popular character of the year or something like that.
Jump from the Ultimate Universe to the regular universe.
Nick Fury's bastard child.
Miles? Oh, another one! Oh my god! This guy gets around!
Are they getting...
Oh, the oh, ultimate Nick Fury.
No,
oh.
saying,
no, no, an ultimate scars, he would have to be white.
Battle Scars was Nick
right.
Fury's bastard son.
Right, but in Ultimate Universe, Miles Morales is going to be Nick Fury's
well, Nick
bastard
Fury did
son.
Did travel a lot, so he could have been
he
a
did.
Mexican.
What's interesting
wow.
are none of these are parallel universes.
Wow. No. That we know of.
Because you'd think that, you know, that in this it would be a white, what's his name?
Nick Fury?
No.
Miles Morales?
No, an ultimate. Miles,
Peter
yeah. If he switched.
Oh.
What happens when Peter goes back to the Ultimate Universe and Miles Morales becomes the 616 Spider-Man?
Donnie just joined us. I just want to get you... We're talking about Spider-Men. They just announced that the Spider-Men book that they've been talking about is going to be regular Marvel Universe Peter Parker meeting Ultimate Miles Morales.
Is this going to be a miniseries? Or
probably.
Like
hopefully an ongoing... No, it's probably just going to be a miniseries.
Yeah.
My prediction is it's going to be an ongoing...
For
it
six
becomes
issues.
A mini, it becomes an ongoing
oh.
that goes back to a mini.
Oh, yes.
In a way, that's what happened to Batman Beyond.
After crossing through
Flight.
Three events.
Alpha Flight.
Yes.
Well, that was Alpha Flight, right?
Yeah.
Well, what happened to Omega?
Why wouldn't it tie into AVX?
Well, is there going to be a Spider-Man 0.1? Because that is a great
ooh,
idea.
Oh, that's it. That, you know, there are lots of things you can do with a point.
Alpha Flight became the Omega.
Alpha Flight was a point one. So was Ghost Rider. That yes. Both of those went well.
I never understood 0.1. The Alpha Flight was a good story.
But starting off with a 0.1 and then issue one being a Fear Itself tie-in. Yeah.
But,
more just showed how many Alpha Flight fans are out there clamoring.
Jim McMahon or McCann, I'm not sure. A lot
no,
of
are we rhyming Pat. Here?
I thought McCann and Pat Crow wrote Alpha Flight.
We're all channeling.
Maybe the first, by the halfway point, it was definitely just Greg Pak.
Okay.
McCann was doing Hawkeye.
Is he doing the new Hawkeye ongoing?
No, that would be the no new Hawkeye ongoing.
Is Hawkeye going to be at Spider-Man?
No, new Hawkeye ongoing written by Matt Fraction.
So now he's going to be doing five books?
Well, Defenders doesn't come out anymore, so that one doesn't.
No, it's shipping next week.
You said regular Hawkeye? Yeah.
Regular, ongoing. He has an new ongoing series.
Well, there's, so he's got four Defenders,
it took
Iron Man,
four issues?
Hawkeye.
It took four issues to get late.
Yeah. And I think that's all he writes.
What's interesting is he had a... Hawkeye had his own mini-series going on, just not too long ago.
He had,
ago.
Like, six of them.
So what? Were the numbers that good that they had to make an ongoing?
Well, didn't you forget he's everywhere.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They just have a lot of hope for the movie. Fifth.
I think Captain Britain's the new Hawkeye.
What's interesting is they're not they're not playing up a lot of, especially in posters. The biggest character that they're popping up, like, everywhere for the Avengers movie is Iron Man, which is smart.
Yeah, and Black Widow, yes.
Well, that's smart as well.
Yeah, well, also, she's only the only female lead in the whole...
Actually, I saw the girl who's playing... lady, whatever. Who's playing Maria Hill. She was on Letterman.
Mother. She's the...
Oh, is she?
Yeah,
okay.
She's...
I don't watch
Robin.
That.
I saw...
Robin's playing...
Maria Hill.
She looks the part, though. I saw
yeah,
picture.
She looks the part.
Yeah, I mean, she doesn't look like a 13-year-old boy, so JR didn't have any influence on it.
She looks appropriately menacing in the picture that I saw, so...
Well, she's a bad guy, right? Because this is pre-Civil War, right? So she
I don't think
be...
that... Maria Hill's I don't think that
she's like... They looks like she's being poised to be Coulton's right hand. Like, they're going to be the... C-3PO, R2-D2 type characters. Well, like the people in the back that kind of your narrative point of view for the movie.
Well, Jeff Fellows is the C-3PO of comic storytelling.
Of the podcast?
Yes. Thank you. You're far too kind.
And Nick's R2-D2? Just going by the...
Nick is more of an Obi-Wan kind of figure. Because
he
kind of
floats around there on the table?
Yeah, he hasn't been called at Nick Borelli since before we were born, so... I'm going to stop Star Wars referencing anyway.
Why?
I'm very confused.
It's a comic book.
Any other news? I don't remember.
I read something today that someone wrote an angry letter to Jeff Johns, but a
I saw that about the else. Yeah about the treatment of Iranians in comics.
Yeah, I guess she's I don't know if she's an Iranian born or just Iranian descended writer, but she took issue with how Jeff Johns introduced that new Iranian character in Aquaman number 7. And she was dead in 7 pages.
But, and actually, in her defense, it wasn't even so much of an attack as she was just pointing it out as a missed opportunity.
Right, yeah.
But it definitely looked like there was a prior group that it's going to be addressing, and I don't
What's
know
up,
why
Paul?
They couldn't be...
Tour bus?
No, they go down to the...
That's Scott Snyder.
Yeah.
Signing's on. For those of you playing at home, there's a huge bus outside.
It's Goosebumps, the stereo store next to me.
Uh-huh.
Did you guys read the Joss Whedon Black Widow versus Buffy?
I heard about that.
Is that really? I wasn't sure if that was the Black Widow that I was thinking about, or it is.
Yeah, it was the Black Widow. Right. I mean, Black in a paragraph, he breaks down a whole story between how they'd meet, how they'd confront each other, how they'd fight, and how it would conclude. It was cool.
He had to do that because he works on both.
I don't
want to
spoil it for you.
Right.
Now he's never going to
It was a draw.
We're going to
get a finger in every pie.
Thank you.
Wouldn't that seem really
hey,
weird?
Hey,
Buffy.
That ended with one character dying and one living.
Well, no, you didn't read it all the way, did you?
Oh, I did.
She comes back.
No, they fight, and Buffy's about to take down Black Widow, and Black Widow's like, ha-ha, I poisoned you before we began. And it's a poison that's activated by adrenaline, and Buffy goes, ha-ha, I didn't use adrenaline in this fight. And then they walk away. Yeah.
Wow. Okay, then.
All right.
Never accept a pre-fight snack.
Never charge up.
So what else was in the news, Colin?
I don't know. That's what I was asking. I realized that was all I really had was the Spider-Man.
Apparently,
yeah.
There's
well,
like,
C2E2's this weekend, so we'll get lots of news.
Apparently,
there's supposedly a new Gambit series coming. Yeah.
Mr. Retailer, DC Direct.
Oh yeah, I read that today.
What happened? DC announced that their DC Direct now is DC. I don't know some other name.
Basically, they're cutting out the mini.
No, they're not cutting us out. They're just also offering their stuff direct online, which is fine.
They did say that the website is going to have links to where you can buy. Yeah,
exactly. It sounds kind of like it's going to be a fan club loyalty type thing. Like
they're
going to
have some exclusives and stuff. So.
But the exclusive they have haven't been.
It's not. It's not going to affect me. I'm not worried about it. I can't blame them for wanting to sell direct. That's no problem.
No.
Yeah, I have no...
It's such a niche marketplace anyway.
I did like the Bleeding Cool article and how it was written like, you know, retailers are already, you know, storming the... But it's like, no, we're not.
Pitchforks and torches to go after DC Direct.
Yeah, I'm
and
not
Wednesdays
real
are all messed
that.
Up because they're all fighting and
right,
protesting.
Right, yeah. Exactly. You know,
we
I'm not going
to
open...
get our books.
I'm not going to sell any DC comics this week. But yeah, it's kind of a non-issue for me. A lot of the things that they think should be
Batman this weekend or next weekend. I don't know.
It's soon.
It sounds like there's going to be a lot of announcements being made at Emerald City.
Okay,
that's what all these announcements
they
that
always,
have been
yeah,
leaking
they,
out are about.
Chicago C2E2. Emerald City was a couple weeks ago.
Was it? Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, but just they always you know there's
Chicago something Entertainment Expo.
I can't keep track of the acronyms for all the shows.
Chicago Comic.
So difficult to write out Emerald City or.
Every time I see an acronym posted on a website, I'm just like, oh, there's a convention this weekend.
So, Mr. Ryan, not on Twitter, probably did not hear the big news coming out of
San
Francisco.
That's right. We reamed you last week.
I missed it. Yeah, you did. Yeah.
Coming out of San Francisco, James Syme of Isotope is starting Morrison Con.
I read about that last year.
Last when?
Year-ish. I thought so.
It's official now. They're going to actually do something.
I saw that.
When you go in, you have to, you know...
You have to shoot
up on
do a little ketamine.
Take some LSD and you're all set to go.
I thought he was a peyote guy.
That does sound really interesting because Morrison is working with them on getting guests. So it's not just people that they think would be influential to Morrison or related to Morrison. It's people
who
Morrison
wants to see the people who he thinks.
Oh, I know. just walking in, like you said, just walking in there would just be
bunch of crazy Europeans you've never heard of.
Deepak Chopra.
Yeah, he's like super best friends with that person.
Yeah.
So, but it's
Ridley
really
Scott.
Cool. I mean, you know, was it last year they did the Morrison signing that Sean Wheatley went to and he got that cool glass with Morrison on it.
You got me a cool glass.
There
with
you
Morrison
go. He did. I'm jealous. I'm still jealous. But no,
I'll
that's
sell you that glass.
I don't think it's gonna last for the. I think it's only gonna be
a million. Make it a million.
NHL games.
Don't you think it's in poor taste for money to change hands between best friends? Like you too.
Being sarcastic, I wasn't.
Oh, you're going to give it to him for free then?
No, I'm not selling it.
I don't think there was very much other news today. It was kind of, or even this week really. It was slow. I'm sure everyone's saving everything for this weekend,
C2.
Like you said.
Yeah. I actually have a big blog post I'm working on. Sorry.
Cool. Awesome.
Just some stuff has not come up, just that I wanted to comment on.
Mm-hmm.
I realized trying to talk it out here, which is what I normally do. And people have made comments like, you don't put anything on the webpage anymore. It's like, well, because I do most of my rambling here. So.
The message board is kind of light on.
Oh, the message board. I don't even pay. I didn't even look there in ages. So I apologize for that. That was.
I'm still voting for the Avengers story.
Okay. Yeah, that was a plan long ago, but.
Sorry, I'm still voting for X-Men.
Yeah, you're not getting what you want.
Nobody listens to you, Jared.
Indeed.
Just like America, where your vote doesn't count. Pittsburgh Comics.
What are you, a communist?
Man. Keep your politics out of my podcast.
That was like the quietest
news,
yell I've ever heard.
Avengers vs. X-Men number 1 was last week, and I figure by now everybody's had a chance to read it.
I didn't read it.
You didn't read it yet?
Yeah,
okay.
I read it.
And just kind of want to get thoughts, what everybody think. I read it, but...
Better than the last one.
I'd have had the X-Men.
Better than Fear Itself?
Yeah. Had the Avengers.
Yeah.
It'd be hard to stoop to that level.
Hard to get down there, but...
Zero was better, but I have it on good authority that don't judge the series on issue one alone.
Because you read issue two. On good authority, no, I agree. Number two was much better than number one.
Some of us have read two, I would say
so
it's much better.
I would not drop the series if you were lukewarm on one, which is what I was.
The only person who really gives up after one issue quit comics, so we're all right. Do it, Joe. Shout out to...
No.
Nick
No. Well, don't bring up... Okay.
No, he doesn't drop it after six years.
Actually, there's comic book news in a little offshoot discussion. Nick Borelli is actually talking about dropping superhero comics for the... Like, not all of them, but certain ones for the first time in 20-some years.
Which ones?
Most everything.
Voodoo, Grifter, a lot of the ones I'm dropping, but a lot of the DC ones, he just said, I'm not...
Like the Wild Storm.
I'm not invested in the universe like I used to be, and these books kind of stink, and I have no reason to stick with them anymore.
See, I'm liking Grifter.
I dropped everything with Demon Knights in them, because they just are annoying.
Who read that...
The Wild Storm stuff hasn't been...
ABX Infinite.
I did.
Oh, I thought that was good.
I liked it. I mean,
yeah.
What book? Sorry,
the that ABX Infinite Infinite. Download.
The I liked it as a bit of technology.
Yes,
I like well, it was. Exactly. It was very yeah. well done. Did you see the no. digital?
I got it.
But what I do want to ask, though,
well, nothing. Crosby.
Did anyone download that AR?
Crosby.
Yeah,
yeah, we did.
Yeah,
it took me it like an hour.
Well, because you had to realize you needed to be out. I kept zooming in yeah. too close. Yeah,
like the first two splash page or the first splash page, I couldn't do it. But like I'm sitting there zooming in for 5 minutes trying to get that thing to.
18 seconds.
It seems like it's kind of squeaky.
Yeah, it's a little
right
wonky.
Now. Yeah, like maybe.
I thought the Infinite thing. Mm-hmm. I thought it had good moments where it mm-hmm. shined in mm-hmm. terms of technology, and
well,
it also had some splash like pages that felt like PowerPoint in the 90s.
Yeah. Really? It's basically a comic book presented to you in panel form. So rather than the way digital is kind of done now, where they try to zoom into the panels and manipulate, it's designed from the ground up as kind of a single panel view, and they use that
easy now, Donnie. Don't go
they
hitting
use
anybody
that to do some effects, so it's like a pseudo animated kind of style. So I think they could do a lot of really cool stuff with it, but it's also like what you said with this particular one, they have Mark Waid and Stuart Immonen just totally focusing on making this thing as good as it can be because it's.
Yeah,
the debut, but
Stuart
what happens?
Hasn't done anything since Fear Itself. Yeah, nothing so, I can remember.
But what happens if it's like yeah. random monthly issue by artist? Joe Wannabe? Yeah. And
I think what we saw is a learning curve on the technology. Like, yes. you know, it's like any technology where you see some glimmer of hope, and you see a lot of crap. And I think eventually they'll get used to the technology and find good ways to use it.
And my thing is, so they can do those. And they hit it where they get their dollar price point that everybody wants. But really, it's more, I don't see it as ever being something that main series are going to do. Like, the main X-Men book or the main Avengers book, because it takes so much to make a little bit.
Yeah.
It's cool for something like this where it's just
really
a little backstory.
Anymore? Does it really take any more in the creator's part? Is the technology guy sitting there going... You know, it looked better instead of having three panels in a row that this just changed color on top of each other.
Well, it definitely creates a somewhat, it could potentially create a new person in the production process because where you previously had pencils, inks, colors, you may have pencils, inks, and then a digital catch-all yeah, yeah. because there are some Photoshop-type effects that they do yeah. that the penciler probably isn't doing. So, you know, you're just... maybe swapping and replacing with someone.
I actually didn't think it was like that amazing. I think it could have been done any time in the last 5 years. I don't think it was like this brand new piece of technology that they could not do before.
I don't know. Without the iPad, would it have been as user friendly?
I don't.
You could have had it on a computer and said, "Click here."
Did you read it on
click the screen and a panel would have flowed.
I'd like to know.
I mean, that's all it basically was.
How it read
on
the phone.
And honestly, I don't think it's innovative from a technology standpoint. I just think it's a application of the technology.
Yeah, it's
interesting.
It's innovative for digital comics. It's not
as a graphic designer, right? You know, all they did for a couple of those panels was throw a different Photoshop filter over top
yeah.
of it.
I think they did that. I think they just planned out what panel was going to come up first, which one would hold the
oh,
most
absolutely.
Impact on the next panel.
But
I really do think that they could have done that before. I don't think it's really a new thing. I think they just finally tried to think it out better than they
yeah,
ever
I think,
had.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think they're just taking, you know, it's kind of a little bit of a leap of using a technology in a better way.
Yeah.
I'd done a write-up on it on Facebook, and I'd kind of concluded that it doesn't feel like comics to me. It doesn't feel like reading comics.
No.
It actually feels like it felt more like animation.
Yes.
So like a
but I actually was okay
comic.
With that. Yeah. I thought it was motion comics done well.
Yeah.
I was okay. Exactly. Yeah. It's motion comics done well. It still feels yeah. like cheap animation to me. It's not bad. The story itself isn't bad.
Not
the
necessarily downgrade. Toned down. It was not so much, you know, over
you
the top.
You
I didn't have to hear
the
voice. We didn't have
like
to have that. You know,
I guess I'm looking at it as what's the purpose of it, though? Because for someone who doesn't read comics, is that something they're going to want, or would they just rather have give me a little animated short?
Yeah.
I think it's to supplement. I think.
I
think if nothing else, it's probably all things considered still relative,
pretty cheap to produce. I think you could produce stories of that caliber and make them 99 cents. And
I mean, here's my honest opinion. Right now, it's a money grab. $100, $100.
Oh, that's
or it was free. There's a sticker in the back you can rip off in AVX.
I think as a supplement.
Oh, you could have got it free from
the back of AVX.
Or it's a prototype for what they're trying to do with digital comics to kick out print.
I think it's a money grab right now to get the technology to the point where it can be the primary storytelling method. I don't think it's there right now.
That really pops on that screen, though, like all the artwork.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what I was saying. That's Stuart Immonen. You know, totally focus. Like,
but
somebody
like
probably
that.
They probably went to him and said, "Listen, we want to knock this out of the park.
That's exactly.
We want it to be perfect.
They
because
thought
yes, the art. That's what I'm saying. What happens if, say, it does take off and you're doing your daily or your monthly books, like your whole monthly calendar? You know, and you have Iron Man 2.0 done by
Pat
Joe.
Oli.
Some, you know, is it going to look as good?
And you know
because
what?
The pencils need
or
to be
what
grit.
If it's like Hulk 2 where there's 17 pencilers?
Yeah.
They also used a set, what was it, a secondary company that did their
Wolverine 304.
Yeah, Wolverine 304, that cover's got so many people and it needs the scroll.
And my other thing with it is crap, I just lost my point.
Was Wolverine 304 a jam cover?
They also have somebody else that comes in to do the cover.
No, it's just got like a list of
pencils. Oh, I know what I was saying. Ryan and I were talking earlier, the other thing about that makes this look so good, kind of what you were saying, Donnie, about the art being sharp, is that one of the problems I've had is I've started to notice now bad digital inking. Because a lot of these inkers that are not as comfortable with the technology, some of these books, and I don't know if it's a technology problem where you're going from what they do on the screen to blowing it up and printing it, or just bad inking, but a lot of the ink lines on some of these guys that are really heavy digital are very thick.
You know what I think it might also be, in addition to inkers not knowing the technology, pencilers are doing their own inking.
Yeah.
Like Diodato does his, I mean, he's done his own inking in the past, but he traditionally did pencils.
Well, he's one of those guys who, since it's gone digital, I've not enjoyed it as much. Because,
but he does his own inking now too,
and it's that the lines just get thick, and when they're thick, they look sloppy.
Yeah.
Now, you know, whereas it was crisp and tight, and like you said, it pops.
We were talking about that on because I read,
but I'm just thinking the pencilers doing their own inking aren't as good at inkers as they think they are.
Right, and it was more digital. We were talking about that Last of the Greats.
Yeah.
There were a couple pages where it was just horrible.
And you looked at it. Keebles guys.
Well, the art was okay, but then the inking was like you took a Sharpie or a flare. You know, just and you're just like, there was no definition. Mm-hmm. And Jeremy was thinking he just had the wrong setting on his digital inking. He didn't know quite what he was doing.
Yeah. Or he has the pressure sensitive pen and he just
isn't. And I'm not even saying it's the artist part. Maybe it's the technology. Like, maybe it's a technology issue, not an art issue. Yeah. But there's some issue at some part of the process, and some of them, they just look...
But, yeah, I mean, you can't blame the technology, because the one thing, like Theodotus said, is the technology gives him more freedom, because if he draws a line that he hates, he hits Control-Z and does an undo.
Right.
So, I mean, if you have the wrong setting, you should be able to go, oh, you know what, I should go back to revisions to get rid of all the inking and start over again.
A good carpenter never blames
but
his tools.
I'd also think sometimes when you don't have time, you have to finish this tomorrow.
Get it
out
the door.
Your stuff is going out where maybe it wouldn't have. If it, what I like, I always liked when there was a separate inker, is that gives you a different, another eye.
Yeah,
to fix things, because I remember especially like John Byrne. I loved his X-Men with Terry Austin. It was fantastic. Then I remember he was doing Wonder Woman on his own in the 80s, and I remember looking at it just going, oh, because he was inking his own stuff. It was sloppy. Things were missed.
Oftentimes what happens when a penciler inks their own stuff is that because the penciler is trained in working in one plane, the figures won't stand out in the foreground as much. Because an inker has an eye for putting a thicker line around things that want to jump out and adding more perspective and textures.
The line from Chasing Amy.
Yeah.
No. The line where he actually says what he does. Definition and...
Well, didn't you guys
watch... That
wasn't
the funny part. No one remembers that.
Yeah.
Avengers Earth Mightiest with Joe Quesada this weekend.
Yes, I've been watching that.
And he was talking about when you ink, it's to add definition and perspective and shading.
And I will say, you know, they show his little screen while he's drawing, and his drawings look good. Yeah. And he's penciling and inking his stuff, so.
But he does, what, a cover a month?
Yeah.
It's not like he's.
And he's also got the big, giant screen drawing tablet. Yeah, yeah, tablet.
That big whiteboard.
It's a pretty sweet setup.
Yeah. One of my favorite things is when they try to sell us with stars.
Stars.
Although, I've seen so many people try to sell things with just like stars and words. I think it's because of Star Wars.
What is that?
That's the opening page.
This is the opening page. AVX basically.
Infinite Number One. It's a star. It's a lead in to what the action is. It's just working. Nova being
the story. The story itself wasn't earth shaking, but I will say I was expecting crap.
Are you ready?
And it was much better than I thought it would be.
It was well worth a dollar.
Yeah,
it's something that I wouldn't buy. If it were on the shelves, because I could care less about tie-ins. But for a dollar, I would...
And there is something kind of fun about the interactive experience. You know, the turning and the fact that it's pseudo-animated, but not really. But again, I don't see it as a vehicle of something that's going to totally take away from the monthly comic. You know, it's a totally different
There was a page thing. Maybe a quarter of the way in where it was just a splash, and every time you swiped, more word boxes popped up. And that's just kind of like felt to me like you're using technology for technology's sake. There was no value add by me swiping six times to get all the word
versus
boxes on the
just
screen.
Reading box, box, right. box. Yeah, and one thing that Jeremy pointed out is it showed that you downloaded 48 pages, but they counted each one of those as a page.
Each frame.
And so I wonder if, you know, they're going to use that. So you get 48
because
pages of content for only a dollar.
Because there are how many repeated pieces of art. You know, like every. Say you had that same picture of Nova. And they have one group of text boxes, and you swipe, and it replaces them with the new text boxes. That's like one drawing that they're...
Yeah, but how many times do you see that in normal comics now, where they just repeat the same frame?
Probably a lot more than I notice.
Three times in a row to give you some sort of time, sense of time. Or,
sometimes.
Or they change a little shading in the background.
I say Understanding Comics by Scott McCloud and see what his thoughts are.
Yeah. Hey, do you guys know how they did that before digital comics?
Photocopier,
yeah. I have an original page by Phil Hester where in the Judd Winnick run they used that for effect, like a pause in the conversation. They were actually doing the word balloons on the page, but he actually photocopied the one panel and pasted it on right next to the panel. It's something to see. It's cool.
I actually have I forget who did the page. It was a Ms. Marvel page from the 70s where they actually have a panel that's redrawn and pasted over the old one.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Well, rather than erasing, or especially if it's been ink, you don't want to
have an entire... Have you flipped through any of those IDW art books? Like, you see, white out and taped the yellow and tape.
That's so cool.
I love the coffee stains, the big coffee mug round.
Or, like, the blue lines underneath.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I guess my main thing with AVX Infinite, that, it, like we've been saying, I think it's interesting... I was more interested in it just to see what they were going to do with the technology, but as a comics reading experience, I don't like it because I feel like I'm being directed through the story, and I know that's one of the things Mark Waid was trying to sell this on and say, like, I can use this to better introduce the dramatic turns to the reader, but I think it loses that sense of freedom that you have when you're looking at a spread of.
I do think it's a.
Is it Waid or Fasada that pitched this?
It's Waid. Well, Wade's been so on.
Well, this is the thing that Waid did this and he loved it so much. He's like selling all of his worldly possessions to start.
He's selling his entire comic book collection to start this digital stuff. But
I think
it's too directed. I like the freedom you have of like.
I think it's a better. It's a better Waid to experience comics on a. iPhone or a tablet. Then
it's perfect for that, but it's...
But as a comic sequential art kind of thing, it's not superior
so
to
Ryan,
comics.
So, Ryan, you read a digital comic. Do you read it in guided view in Comixology or page at a time?
Unless it's really difficult to read the text, I don't read in guided view. I'd rather read a page at a time.
I'm the same way. Page at a time. Although, I wonder, we're all experienced readers. I wonder what a new reader would say.
I did that test, actually.
And?
I gave my tablet to my fiance and I said, I want you to read just a little bit of this issue, number one, Animal Man by Grant Morrison. I want you to read it as the full page, then I want you to try a guided view, and then I want you to try AVX number one, Infinite. And she thought that, it's mainly the size of my tablet, it's 7 inches, so she didn't, don't go there, man. She thought the page was a little too small to read all at once as one big page. She didn't like guided view because she didn't like not being able to see the whole page. and she didn't like Infinite Number One because she said it felt like a video game. It didn't feel like reading a book. It felt like playing a video game.
That's what I complain about guided views. You only get that one panel. You can't see the context. And,
especially you can't skip to the end and artist, spoil it.
I mean, because I was flipping through last week. We got the Swamp Thing trade in the Alan Moore, and I'd never read issue 20 because it was never collected in any of the books that before that. And so I was reading that, and I noticed that Steve Bissett, who did that, or maybe it was Toddleman, but both of them, they were almost all two-page spreads with, you know, and it was designed that way. And, you know, are you going to take that away from the artist?
That is the one thing that tablet reading of comics, more than anything else, does take away is two-page spreads because they're just too small.
And even just the way the page is set up when all of a sudden it's going to be read, bing, bing, bing. But like Todd McFarlane said it down at Dallas last year, he says, you know, if I wanted to, I could write a book, do a book for a phone that would just be panel after panel after panel after panel that size.
Hey, it's called Infinite Comics.
Yeah. But,
well, you know, that's why I think, I've actually thought having my iPad, because I bought my iPad specifically, more than anything else, to read comics on. And I found that old comics, like from early 80s and earlier when it was 6 to 9 panel block layout, read perfectly on here because you can blow it up a little bit and not read the whole page. But the panels work. It's almost like more of a comic strip. Those read fine on here, but it's modern comics where the artists are using literally the whole page to do storytelling that it's a little...
Do you think we'll see...
Oh, that's so interesting.
Do you think we'll see less of that full-page splash and double-page splash?
I could see a kind of retro going back to
I'd say maybe 9 panels, but the double-page splash, does it go away because people are designing for the iPad now?
Definitely.
It might, but then you... I wonder if the artists will... I don't want to say rebel, but you know they're losing some of their freedom.
Be,
some of
it
their
could
way
be
to
a up-and-down thing where it goes away, and then... When it goes away, what happens when you use it? It has an impact, which is what it was designed to have in the first place.
Yeah, but selling two single-page splashes is probably more valuable than one double-page.
It's easier to draw. Not in general. I'm being even just one page, drawing out one page as opposed to drawing out five or six separate panels.
Over Christmas, I was reading the Steve Ditko Spider-Man run because I'd never read it. And it's fascinating reading that run because you don't get a full page splash page other than, you know, page one of the story. Like, you know, in the story, you don't get one of those until issue 30, whatever it is. It's the famous issue where he's has all the steel girders on him and so imagine like reading 30 issues of Spider-Man not seeing a splash page to suddenly hit that splash page even as used to it, it actually had an impact on me because I'm like, you know, little squares, 9 panel layouts after 9 panel layout through 30 issues, and you get to like 34, and suddenly, you know, Spidey stands up and, you know, pushes all that debris off, and it's like, whoa, you know, because it jumps out because it hadn't been used in the whole run, so. You could go back to something like that, where if it start using it less frequently and...
Who pioneered the splash page? If Steve Ditko
often the first panel in the first page.
The traditional way was you had that opening, like, here's
with
what's
the credits, the title.
Like, Julie Schwartz is credited with the style where he would have, like, that first page would be kind of a summary to tell... Mm. Like, his thought was you should be able to look at that opening splash page and know what the story you were about to read was.
They've been around a long
time. Yeah.
I guess when I think of a modern splash page, the farthest I could go back, I mean, it's kind of the beginning of everything, but I mean, I think of Kirby's New God series or some of his Fourth World stuff.
This Ditko was in the 60s. That was like 63, 64. Yeah. I think Kirby probably did some in early FF. But so that was the thing. It was around. It wasn't like a totally new invention in the 60s, but it was just not used.
It wasn't
not
as
expected.
Used.
Like
Yeah. Because really, like up until, you know what, the late 80s, comics were kind of very strictly more done as strips.
Yeah, that was
had,
shooter required that. Yeah.
And so it was either 6 to 9 panels per page and very blocky and boxy. And then right around the 90, the Image era, like all the Image guys were really responsible, like Jim Lee, Todd McFarlane, they started doing bigger and bigger panels, and that's when...
Colin, back to what you were saying about Todd McFarlane's presentation at Dallas. Was he saying that he chose to write for the whole page like that, and he chose to use a whole page because...
Well, it was a lot of the talk that year, much more than this year, was about digital. It was digital, just beating us over the head with, you know, this is what's coming. And then last February, we were kind of like, okay, yeah, nothing happened.
Mm-hmm.
Please stop talking. And I think one person actually did get up and say, ask the panel, please stop talking about digital. We don't care.
Whoa.
Not to say that, but because the year before, almost the entire meeting was based on, here's our what we're doing digitally, and we're like, it's irrelevant to us. Mm-hmm. It's something that's going to happen, not including us. We don't want to
put you
here.
Out of business.
Well, we don't want to sit here for 3 days hearing about it.
Oh, yeah.
So what else are you doing?
Yeah.
And so, but
what are you doing to support her?
He was just basically saying, if I wanted to, I could do this.
Yeah.
But it's not something I've thought about. I make comic books. I don't want to make phone apps.
Yeah.
But he said, you know, if you were going to do it, you'd make one that was panel by panel exactly that size.
Uh-huh.
Rather than trying to adapt a book down to it. So.
So here's a funny tweet for you, Colin. Jeff Lemire to Josh Falkoff. I'll make you a deal. You give Andrew Bennett his ponytail back, and I will cut off Cliff's mullet.
Fair enough.
Who's Cliff?
Cliff is Sandman's son, who has a terrible mullet. But he's had that mullet since Morrison's run. So that's
he's Andrew Bennett?
He is the vampire.
Awesome.
And I think Jeff Lemire is referring to the Andrew Bennett in the collection that
just came out today. Still available at Pittsburgh Comics. unlike Flex Mentallo, the customer that was here just wanted. Thanks, Joe.
Oh, I got it. Sorry,
I'll
customers.
I know where they make more.
Batman Inc.
I'm out of. Plenty of Luther Strode. I don't know what's wrong with you people.
Yeah, you should read that.
I heard good things.
Very
is that the guy who's local?
He's in Bedford.
Yeah.
Which is local-ish.
Yeah. Wow. We should get him in here first time.
Okay.
He's got enough copies, too.
When the next series starts, I'll definitely talk to him.
Yeah, we could do that.
Two other things I want to talk about. I was trying to think what books came out last week that really made an impact that, you know, jumped out at me. And I think most of you guys are reading them. I don't know about you, Donnie, because you're bad. But Swamp Thing and Animal Man, I think last week just killed it. They'd been building up and you kept going, this is really good. But last week, I think both issues just totally hit the, you know, hit the high jump or whatever, you know, cross the bar. They were just fantastic.
Lots of left turns.
Since I'm a bad comic fan, I haven't read my Alan Moore Swamp Thing. Did Swamp Thing always have wings?
No.
No.
Okay, so that's all new. The horns, the wings, but it's awesome.
It's so cool.
You know, it was just that image. Are you reading those?
No, I stopped a while back. I got tired of waiting for him. Just be Swamp Thing.
Get out.
Be Swamp Thing. I got tired of
waiting for him. He is Swamp Thing.
He is. Swamp Thing finally showed up.
Did you fall and hit your head when you hurt your leg?
Hurt his leg. That was just fantastic.
Yeah, I liked
him. That was great.
I liked Animal Man better than Swamp Thing. What a
surprise.
No.
You know,
is
you
Travel
didn't see that coming.
Leaving that book?
He's off the book.
Yeah. Okay.
Basically, it was his decision. I guess his mom just died, and he's having trouble. Just the imagery and just it was too much for him to take.
Keeping up too.
I noticed the
last couple issues have been split.
I think he's been starting. He had partially worked ahead, and
so
now the other guy's filling in the gaps. Yeah. But he's going on. He's moving on to another book like Birds of Prey or something.
Which
that art style, I don't know quite how that's going to work.
Can they get Straczynski off the book so it'd be readable again?
Dwayne Straczynski,
Straczynski.
No, because it comes out on time.
It's like Swierinski.
It's like
Dwayne Straczynski.
Yes.
Yeah, thank you, Joe. We were waiting. Gosh, could we probably do more?
He's from Philly. Let's get him in for a signing.
Let's not, because that book stinks.
He actually did the Cable run that we always talk about liking, and Iron Fist, the Immortal Iron Fist. I'm a big fan of Dwayne Straczynski.
When did he do Iron Fist?
Following Brubaker Infraction.
I didn't read it Following Brubaker Infraction.
When it got really bad with the Eight Immortal Weapons.
It actually was not that bad. Eight Immortal Weapons is awesome. Plus, it was Travel Foreman's introduction, Travel Foreman artwork, first time he was published.
Very cool.
Joe Fellow, the Wikipedia.
He is. I know. That's really good.
Fluent.
But yeah, Animal Man had such a surprise in that book that was just, I don't want to ruin it, but you're just reading along and you're like, what?
The daughter part?
Wow. Yeah, that was
pretty cool.
Nice Mr. Fox.
Thank you, Mr. Fox. But yeah, that was, wow. Both of those books were, like I said before, my only requirement for a review is, do I want to read the next one or not? And that's good or bad.
Yeah.
I don't, giving grades seems a little silly, but both of those, highest grade, because I wanted to read the next one immediately.
Yeah.
There was a Law in Swamp Thing. Before it became Swamp Thing. I mean,
there has been. Yeah, yeah. It was kind of like a lot of buildup. But this one, paid off. Yeah, this one really paid off.
Snyder, so it would pay off.
Well, Snyder's drive for this, though, I think, is that he wants to build Alec Holland into a character and not just background.
But I thought Alec Holland could never be again after the last one.
Well, he was reborn with the White Lantern.
But I thought in the last issue, the Parliament of Trees.
He can't come back. He is now Swamp Thing. Yeah, he can't be.
That was the whole thing.
But I think it's a case of he's going to have a lot more of a human grounding.
That they might kind of
switch back and forth.
He showed such ability in the last issue to morph his form, which I don't think.
Well, I don't think it was this issue. I think it was the issue before. They basically, he's Swamp Thing and not alive, but they also, he was describing it as the Swamp Thing
flowing into him.
Yeah. So underneath, there's still some human.
Yeah. He mentions stuff. His blood, and he can feel like the veins from the leaves running into the veins of his blood and everything.
So it sounds like Alec Holland is there to stay.
Yeah.
Much more than what it's been in the past.
I wouldn't be surprised.
He was disagreeing.
I wouldn't be surprised if later on he can kind of pull the bark and the leaves back a little bit and show maybe a hand or at least his mouth.
It would make sense.
Yeah,
like
I think maybe that's going to be the thing, is that he's going to be the first Swamp Thing that can be both human and
green. In Snyder, we trust.
Indeed.
But I thought Alan Golden was always Swamp Thing.
Did you read Project Superman?
Yeah, yeah. Alan Moore. Mm-hmm. Changed a lot.
I thought one was terrible, two and three fixed it. Okay.
It wasn't the worst.
Or yesterday, you got a bunch of them.
I put one out, and the rest are right here. Okay. Sorry, I don't know
what was the worst of the Flashpoint minis? Secret Seven,
in my opinion.
World
of Flashpoint.
World of Flashpoint, I think, was doing stuff that I think was kind of neat, just touching on.
I would have said Outsider till issue 3.
Yeah, Outsider was good, but
I liked Outsider.
Secret 7 was weird.
It was either Secret 7 or World of Flashpoint for me.
I liked the middle of World of Flashpoint. I didn't like the Outsider.
I will agree, if we were judging on number ones, I would have said Project Superman was horrible.
Oh, that kind
of I would have read 2 just because it was Scott Snyder, but I would have said number 1 was terrible.
I think
that was good.
Canterbury Cricket.
Yeah,
one shot.
That was a good one.
I liked it.
Just because it was the most oddball thing to come out.
It was, but it was good.
Once you figure out who he was supposed to be,
the Gorilla Grodd one was shot was probably the best single issue of Flashpoint.
Ambush Bug?
He was Ambush Bug. That's awesome. But not crazy, goofy Ambush Bug.
Yeah, regular.
But no, that
was just Ambush Bug taken way over here.
Different direction, yeah. The one that disappointed me the most was Dead Man and the Flying Graysons, because I thought it was good. It set up this whole idea that the Amazons were desperately trying to get a hold of the Helmet of Fate to use as a weapon against the Atlanteans, and that never got paid off.
At least
in Flashpoint 5, I would have loved to have seen an Amazon wearing the helmet just destroying Atlanteans.
Wonder Woman versus Aquaman.
Was Nightwing last week? Because that was a paid off.
I'm behind. I haven't read 6 yet. Anything else from last week?
Anyway, you know, I want to talk about this one mostly because I liked it, but also so we can gripe just a little bit that you and I have been griping about and these guys haven't heard. But Daredevil 10.1
We're just saying, that's so good.
Continues to be awesome. I thought the 10.1 issue was good.
Yeah.
Which leads to the gripe.
Yeah.
It's a 10.1?
But you do.
No, Dan Garberk was talking to me about this earlier.
Okay.
Yeah, he had a big post on
that. Yeah, that I thought was made, I think it's the same. Well, I don't know if it's the same point you're going to make
about the hardcover.
No. Softcover. Oh no. Okay. We'll
what's Dan
Garber? No. We'll do this first. A couple weeks ago, I was griping about the Marvel the trades and the hardcovers and just
the problem, you know, not getting stuff out that I can actually sell. Like, I think we still don't have a Fear Itself paperback for me to sell.
Nope.
And Daredevil is getting all these accolades. The issues have gone through multiple printings, but most of them are sold out now, so I can't sell you the issues. I sold the hardcover Saturday. I went to reorder it Monday. It's sold out, no back orders. So, and the paperback isn't even been offered yet, which means the earliest it's going to be out is July. And it's just crazy to me. You have this book that's like, getting all these accolades that I could
Daredevil
sell a ton of,
is probably,
but I can't.
It's probably far and away right now best book Marvel's putting out.
No. Winter Soldier.
Daredevil. Yeah. Far and away.
I still think Winter Soldier.
I'm tired of
better.
Doom. I don't want Doom in every book. And right now, no, Doom is in every book.
It's good.
Book.
I'm not saying I don't like Winter
That's
Soldier.
My problem
I just.
With that.
I think Fantastic Four and FF are better than Daredevil at this point.
I haven't read it since.
Wolverine and the X-Men.
Jings. Tall Order.
Don't get me wrong. I
no,
like the Daredevil
I just,
book.
But
it's just.
I just. Daredevil
this whole,
has been really
the
good.
The Graves and the Mole Man and that's just been a really
but the payoff. The payoff issue for that one was fun.
Eh. Not, I don't even remember what happened, so it couldn't have been that fun.
I was excited about Marcus Martin, but he bailed.
I don't know, I've still been enjoying
I like
it.
Don't get me wrong.
Or they just rotated.
He's gone.
So what was, Dan,
I think he
what
left
was
Marvel.
Dan's
brand? Dan's problem was you
Part
have...
Of it was he's had that Infinity Disc for...
Well, he has the Infinity Disc, and he goes back and saying, it's been 2 weeks, you guys haven't even come up with a plan, what's your problem? He then, well, this is giving away 10.1, so spoilers.
Oh, well. Yeah.
Then one of the guys had bribed Black Cat to try to get it. So he then has Reed Richards take their information off the disc and exposes them in the news, and they get taken down by the government, and the other ones kill that guy. And he's like, okay, now the rest of you need to come up with a plan to take this away from me. That's how it ends. He's like, why doesn't he, one, just get all that information out there and take down all these evil organizations?
I must be thinking of issue 10, not 10.1.
Yeah, and then...
That's right. I was thinking of the Mole Man issue.
Okay, no. And then you know, it just doesn't make
well,
sense the way he's
point
playing
was
this.
That it was written on a part of the FF Indestructible suit, but it was... Just the
torn. Yeah, but it was destroyed.
The torn
yeah.
part of the suit.
Yeah.
Like, how did you tear the suit if it's indestructible?
Right, and the fact that Reed Richards is, you know, oh, you have that, okay, and oh, he snuck out while my back was turned.
See, some of these books are shipping so frequently, I can't track
tell me about
which
it.
Which.
Jeez.
Well, they were weekly. So
but yeah,
I
guess sorry, I apologize. I was thinking of Daredevil 10. Which
I like 10.1 better than 10 because that Mole Man story, I thought. Daredevil took a slight turn for the worse with the bus full of kids. And
oh, I hated that issue.
That story
Not hated,
was,
but I was very
that
disappointed.
That was 8, right? I think that was 8. And then the Mole Man story
9
with the Graves was 2.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of happy.
And now we're going into
to,
the Omega effect that's still dealing with this stupid FF drive.
Which is crossing over.
Crossing through Punisher and Avenging. It started today in Avenging Spider-Man.
Where?
I thought standalone because I don't want to buy the other two.
I heard an interview with Mark.
I mean, it doesn't end. Yeah, it might leave you hanging. But you might go, I don't care, don't want to know.
It's supposed to cross between Punisher
it's only three issues,
and Avenging Spider-Man.
I think it ends.
It started today.
I think
Avenging.
It ends in Daredevil, though.
Okay.
Yeah, I know that much.
So it's only three issues.
Who's telling me their favorite line?
Where he said, I see you started dating
yeah,
again.
Yeah, Spider-Man says that to the Punisher. That was
Wait,
awesome.
What?
Spider-Man says to the Punisher because the
oh the girl
yeah,
yeah the girl
he says so I see you've started dating again.
I don't know. I was gonna say I don't know that he's the person I would say that to.
People keep saying FF's good, but
the only problem with
get
FF
back into it.
And you
the
have,
covers I hate the covers.
You have to have been reading FF since the Johnny Storm. Death, whatever that was, the Mystery Cities or the...
I was
reading
it then.
You've had to be reading
but...
it for like a year and a half to get the payoff out of what's happening now. If you haven't read it since Hickman started, wait until, I don't know, Hickman's off of it or...
But like,
because you've got like 6 different Reed Richards and you've got his dad and you've got 2 Alexes and 2 Valerias and... I mean, it's crazy. Dr. Doom's kid.
Journey into Mysteries out today.
Yeah, I heard that was getting bad again. I haven't read it.
I haven't read it.
I I was catching up on it for a while, and I kind of fell off after... I got to the issue that you told me about, Jeremy, where Volstagg tells his kids what happened during Fear Itself, and that was hilarious.
That was awesome.
That was a cool issue.
How's the inking on that one?
On that particular issue or on the book? That issue was... The art was great. It was... Because Volstagg is... It's really funny, because the way Jeremy pitched it to me, he said, don't read Fear Itself. The only thing you need to read about Fear Itself is Volstagg's account of Fear Itself. And Volstagg's account of Fear Itself to his kids is just him inflating his role of how important he was.
Being Volstagg.
And, yeah. And when the art goes to his flashback, it goes kind of cartoony, and it's really silly. So he's mentioning how, you know, he's like, well, once upon a time, there were these evil people that went down and awoke a great evil. And you know who they were? And his kids are like, Nazi! And you see, like, you see these giant cartoonish, like, almost yellow submarine-ish Nazi submarines with giant cartoony swastikas on them. And he's like, and what do we say about Nazis? And they're like, we hate them! And it's just, it's really entertaining. But it was
you
just...
You make those voices in your head when you're reading?
I don't. It was for a fact. But it's a solid book. I mean, I didn't stick with it, but I'm sure...
So I think all you had to read to Fear Itself was Fearless, because that really should have been the Fear Itself miniseries.
But another complaint, not for you, but to Marvel, I have two Journey into Mystery hardcovers on the shelf. I don't have a trade.
Yeah. The another thing that...
You know, and they're shrink-wrapped, so I can't read them. I'd love to get caught up, but...
Yeah. I mean, besides the fact that it was something that I liked, but not something I had to... desperately read every month, but they started switching artists like crazy.
Yeah, it's hard. It's had a hard time too. I would say that issue and the Christmas issue with the wolves.
I didn't get to that one.
Yes, those two issues are the absolute apexes of the run.
Yeah,
the most recent storyline that Matt was saying has been a little long winded, and it's actually kind of confusing because being like probably the
storyline am I talking about?
You said Journey into Mystery you heard was getting a little...
Oh, sorry.
But probably being one of the only people who read the Fearless, the Venom, crazy...
Oh, Circle of Fire. You want to talk about bad.
Well, not this isn't even about good or bad, but just reading those two and reading this, they have... Trying to figure out right now whether Damien Hellstorm is supposed to be a hero or a villain or what the heck he's supposed to be is very confusing. It actually makes... some of that story, but basically right now the Journey into Mystery is Loki versus Nightmare.
Oh, okay. Aren't they doing New Mutants crossover soon?
Yeah, no. They're...
Okay. Exiled.
Yeah. Which has to do with Danny becoming a Valkyrie again.
Well, because Valkyrie was dead for 30 minutes or something, right?
Yeah, well, and at the end, there's going to be some type of story where she's giving weapons to her eight
to the homeless.
Whatever
happened to the mighty Tannerus?
He died from...
He fought Thor. Thor showed up and everybody was like, hey, it's that Thor guy! That's literally what happened.
There he is.
And Loki was like, see, I told ya!
Uh-huh.
And they fought. And Thor won.
Do we think Matt Fraction is an overhyped writer?
I don't read enough of his stuff to have an
opinion. Okay, can people actually answer? Because the people listening at home cannot hear your head rattle.
That was a nod for effect.
He's lost a step over the past year or so.
You know,
his early Marvel work was really good.
You know what? Maybe it was, well...
But his early Marvel work was also all written with Ed Brubaker.
Yeah, because the Order, that was terrible.
But the Order was really good. He wrote Iron Fist, but he wrote Iron Fist with Ed Brubaker.
I really liked his Iron Man stuff.
Yeah, me too.
Literally, up until the end of Disassembled. And after that,
Iron Man Disassembled?
Tony Stark Disassembled.
His brain.
You're thinking of other
Disassembled. Not that, but it wasn't...
Yeah, it was Tony Stark called Disassembled. That, yeah. It wasn't Iron Man.
But I read it until that, and then that ended, and I just kind of went, okay. And then I think the next issue came out. Oh, I know what happened. It was the issue where he's with some kid... And I'm bankrupt. We're going to have to start again, and we're going to have to armor from all these pieces. And I just went...
That was Iron Man Legacy or whatever that was.
No,
with,
like, it was in...
It was like 500 or something.
He's
like
talking
that.
About the story arc right before Fear Itself stuff happened.
Like, no, it was a little bit before that. It was before, right before Detroit Iron.
Stark resilient with the car.
Yeah,
it was before that. But it was one where he said that, and I just went...
I think it was part of Stark Resilient, like the first time.
Okay,
I just went with the Iron Man and Morgan before I drop it.
Yeah,
I'll read Iron Man. You know, like
I,
I think you are with Hawkman. I'll read Iron Man as long as it's published.
I mean, I was enjoying it, but it just hit that, and I just went. And I think I've been there before with a broke Tony Stark.
Kind of maybe seems like what happened is he had his big epic story from Invincible number one through Stark Disassembled. And it's like he got to the end of that story, and then it was like,
what do I do now?
Yeah, so he treaded water for about a year.
Let's kill some time until Fear Itself is over.
Yeah. And that may have been, too, that he knew Fear Itself was happening, so it was like, no, don't want to start a new epic.
Because I thought Split Lip was hilarious. Like, I thought that was enough reason to read Iron Man for a couple months. Mm-hmm. I mean, Split Lip at an AA meeting was hilarious. I mean, that was just worth $3 in itself. Or four, whatever it costs.
Adam, what did you read lately?
What did I read?
Spider-Man.
Adam doesn't read comics.
I know you like the Spider-Man.
No. Yeah, Ends but I've talked a lot about good. That.
What?
Ends of the World has been good.
Yeah. Ends of the Earth.
Ends of the Earth. Well, Doc Ock is going to solve global warming.
Yeah, by setting the world on fire.
Is your name Adam?
No, that's his I think Colin asked
Adam
idea.
A question. Oh, Adam was thinking, and I was saving dead air. Okay. Is that right with you?
He isn't going to. He can either save the world or destroy it. He's giving them a choice.
Oh. Trying to help.
That's what he's doing.
What a guy.
One thing, though.
Now, it was real. So, the Avengers just got.
Right?
What?
Go ahead.
Joe, you missed Joe.
I'm sorry.
Joe was yelling at me for talking about Ends of the Earth.
Okay. Because it was Adam's turn to talk, and then right as Adam.
But I was trying to fix that air while he was just going on.
Well, so the Avengers are all beaten by the Sinister Six at the end of the issue.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, but so how are they in Utopia?
See, at the same time.
Okay.
First of all, it's a comic book. Don't take it too seriously.
Yeah, I come to accept that Marvel
when a character's dead in this book, he shouldn't be alive in this book.
Here's the thing.
I've taken that Marvel time is different than in real time.
But you got to realize, a book, just because it takes 6 months for us to read the book, it probably only took him a day. It's probably only taken two or three days.
It was in the same school.
Sometimes it takes us 2 months to read the book.
No, it takes about 10 minutes to read the book, and that's about how much time elapses over the course of the panels.
Thinking, right? Because Bendis established that whole
timeline
has been like 8 months. So I'm guessing Spider Island took us 4 months to read. Probably took 3 days.
And it doesn't even fit so much as that, too. I know what you're saying, but it also it jumps off.
It's wonky.
If it was like that, though, if it was a slower timeline, I understand that, but everything does kind of get mixed up, which I guess when writing a book, it is kind of difficult to do that, unless they plan it, like, a lot, which is a lot of planning to decide, okay, you know, this character has to be alive during this, or, you know, so it is a lot of stuff in that. Anymore, I just kind of look past that.
But my point
is, because I know Marvel does it.
But my point is, we could take the Blackbird from New York to Utopia in, like, 10 minutes. So for them to be, like, beat up one day and fly to Utopia the next, you know.
Yeah, change clothes while they're there. Change
Jarvis,
to the all-white
Jarvis
costume.
Threw a little Neosporin on the costume, on the cuts. And
what I,
He's no Alfred.
Jarvis was not anyway. Is he a robot now? Is he going to be just a voice on a box because of the movie?
No, well, that's true. They might. They might change that. They're going to kill him.
They could do a joke where he's just like...
Because movie continuity trumps comic continuity, because comic continuity's only been around for 40 years.
Jarvis versus Alfred.
Maybe he is at a computer. Maybe he's just the guy behind a curtain who's talking to an intercom.
Pay no attention.
Yeah. It'll come out behind the curtain. That'll be the end of the... You have to wait till the end of the credits, and then you're like, oh, it's Jarvis. He's real. It's Cap.
He's been Cap for years.
Well, in the Earth's Mightiest, he's just the
LMD.
And then they, like, cut, and they show you, like, Paul Bettany sitting in a messy apartment eating pizza.
Who's Paul Bettany?
He does the voice of Jarvis. Iron Man. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Donnie, what did you read lately that you liked?
I think you went over most of it. Did X-Force come out last week? Or was that the week before?
Week before.
Yeah. 2 weeks ago.
You like that?
No, I didn't like
that. Okay, good. I was going to have a whole different view of you.
yeah, I liked it. I didn't care for that.
Oh, that was terrible.
Is that still Greg Tichini on it?
Yeah.
That was the last issue of him, I think. I think Billy Tucci takes over.
Like I was saying, I don't even know if I want to read the next arc.
I think it's
that was so bad.
Oh, I'll get right back into it, but I...
Well, next arc's supposed to be the return of the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants.
Greg Tichini is the perfect example of those thick lines we were talking about.
But I'm just
the whole thing was knowing the history of this character that you'd never heard about, and if you didn't know the history of that character, it didn't make sense.
And it was titled, like... The Trial of Nemesis.
Which character was it?
Yeah. The brother of Captain Britain. Who
Genie.
Was dead, but apparently is now alive.
But I think those guys right.
Jamie Braddock.
He's an LMD. He
but you like, had you had to understand his whole life to understand the twist ending.
I think
you had to be an Excalibur fan. Let's just call it what
but
it
I
is.
Think creators write those kind of continuity laden stories for people like Jeremy and
Nick.
And
Nick.
But I'm
and
I just
Ryan
saw my sales drop by 25%, and I don't think they're
Bizarro Ryan that
you
reads
to,
Marvel.
You have to understand.
You know, so that's bad planning.
You have to understand. In Marvel, they're either an LMD, a clone,
or a Skrull.
It could be a Skrull.
Or a Skrull.
But he has reality
or
warping powers.
They come from another Earth.
Yeah, because that wasn't an alternate reality.
Because that happens in DC as
well,
as Marvel.
Kind of.
It does.
It was
the nexus of all realities.
I mean, X-Men already had the Age of Apocalypse characters in it.
Yeah.
Well, you said enough right there.
It's kind of Marvel's version of the Bleed in DC. It's basically a space that exists outside of the multiverse where all of the multiverses converge.
A book
It'd
that,
be the thing if Grant Morrison ever actually got a hold of that idea in Marvel, you'd probably turn and run for the hills because it would have head to explode.
Well, Hickman's writing something like that too, right? With the Bridge of Infinite Realities or whatever he calls that.
Yeah, but this is one that's like been around for it's basically Captain Britain stuff.
I was thoroughly confused and kind of read it going, I don't know what's going on.
Does Phantom X have a face anymore?
I was. Yeah. I'll
I'm
suck it up
confused.
For four issues.
Yeah.
And
he's a mutant, isn't he?
Phantom X?
Nobody really knows.
He's a creation.
He's like an alien spaceship.
I think he's Grant Morrison. Yeah. I literally think.
A lot of characters
that,
like
the costume, it's Grant Morrison.
Doesn't he have like two brains and one's in his butt or something?
Yeah, because the two in his head got killed.
Yeah, he has three brains, right? One's in his butt.
Are you serious?
Yeah, one's
serious.
A spaceship and.
Yes. One is a spaceship that lives outside
I'm telling
his body,
you, though,
that is a woman
that
talks to him.
Underneath the mask is Grant Morrison.
My favorite thing about Phantom X. Is they revealed in one of his early appearances that the French accent is actually him messing with everybody. He's not really French.
Again.
Doesn't really have an accent. He just knows that people hate the French.
It was literally Grant Morrison writing himself into the X-Men.
That's kind of cool.
He does that.
Yeah, it's in the Grant Morrison X-Men.
Grant Morrison sits like at home and like journals the storylines and the drug combination. Like, all right, I did some marijuana, a little LSD,
and then he tries it again,
and
he's able
to
write it.
Phantom X. I tried ketamine, and I came up with Batman Inc. Like,
I thought all he did was peyote.
Yeah, I think Warren Ellis was the ketamine guy.
I'm not even saying.
Which is an animal tranquilizer.
Anything you want to add?
Did we talk about Action 8? I don't think we talked about Action 8.
Go ahead.
Oh, man, that was good.
Time to drop
a book.
I know you
didn't like it. Yeah, you have fun with that.
I love it. I thought sorry.
8 was awesome.
No, I thought it was really good.
When
I mean,
did 8 come out?
9's, last week. 9's going to be another great
movie. Oh, the ending. No, I read it. Okay. I don't remember.
Yeah, because it was that good, you had to think about it.
No, I had a lot that I had to read last week.
I mean, it's certainly apparent that Grant's building a lot of things now with the epilogue at the end of the issue and also with the appearance of the short man again who... I'm calling it now. It's Mixture Spitlick. It has to be. There's no other way. That
oh,
it's
yeah. It has to be.
You know, because we have Mr. I don't remember his name. The guy that's in charge of Galaxy Broadcasting and everything.
Yeah.
Oh,
Morgan Glenn Morgan?
Yes. Glenn Morgan. And so Mr. Glenn Morgan's going crazy. Everyone's been shrunk down in Metropolis. They're in a bottle in the collector's ship, Brainiac ship. And Glenn Morgan's going crazy saying that if the little man came and ruined his life, it's like he's stuck in hell and the little man is the devil. And
did you notice something about the little man? He just disappeared?
Yeah. That's more Field of the Fire. I mean, he's in the first issue of Action.
Which that reinforced what you're saying. Because I thought about that and I was like, it has to be.
Yeah, he's in the first issue of Action talking to Glenn Morgan. And then he disappears just before Superman shows up with a snide look on his face. He shows up in issue 6 with the Legion of Superheroes. He's the one that's trying to auction the kryptonite off the villains.
Except
in the
he's
future.
Green.
Yeah. Except,
Wasn't he green?
No. He was a slightly different... I think he was drawn differently because it was Kubert drawing.
Yeah, something was weird about it.
But, and then he shows up again in number 8, and number 7 and 8 is the bartender in this weird bar that they're hiding in. But issue 8 was cool because it wrapped up the Metal Zero storyline with John Corbin, the Metallo character. It wrapped up the Collector... Superman's costume did something weird that I hope Morrison touches on again in the 30 year, which is, I mean, they've established that it senses Superman's DNA, so when he finds it, it's just pure white, but when he puts it on, it becomes blue and red, and it gets the symbol for the House of El on it. But the Collector throws him into another Bottle City, and he ends up grabbing one of, like, the skyscrapers. And when he touches the skyscraper in the Bottle City, his suit goes all red and green. And I thought maybe it turned into, like, Jor-El's
color. It's a Legion.
Color,
or it was a familiar costume, but I don't know what. Like Sun Boy or something like that.
Yeah, the Collector mentions a list of, like, 300 worlds that were on a death list that he was supposed to collect. And I think they're going to jump into something that Geoff Johns might have introduced right before the reboot, which was that most of the cities in Brainiac's ship were alien races that later become part of the Legion of Superheroes, and that Mon-El had to go, like, seed them throughout the universe and make sure they became actual planets. So I think he's going to be building to that, because...
Did we read the same book?
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought it was great.
Yeah,
was I enjoyed it.
I just
thought
he missed a lot of that.
Yeah, that's...
Well, it's more... It is Morrison. It's typical Morrison. Yeah. You almost have to read it.
And I should say, I'm not dropping it. I'm converting the trade.
Okay. No, I mean, Morrison's books do bear rereading, like you're saying.
And, well, and issue 9 is another one of those that's...
He's getting closer to the time travel event.
Well, the next issue is the not even Clark Kent. It's a multiverse Superman.
Would this be the first Superman? Would this be the first multiverse issue in the 52?
Because we haven't went to Huntress any. Would count for that. I mean, even though it took place on
new,
something.
Yeah, I don't know if that was in.
It took place on the new Earth, but she's from Earth too.
It's the first.
They've already confirmed that she's from
Earth
too.
It's the first story we've read that. It's not taking place on new DC Earth.
Yeah.
Okay. That they've confirmed.
Earth 53?
I don't know what number Earth it is. I know that
I think Superman, they did say something like that. It was a high number.
I know that character, President Superman, appeared in Final Crisis. He was there in one of the issues. I don't know. The aide is like, oh, sir, the skies are turning red. And he's like, okay, I'll fix it. Superman logo undershirt.
And the thing that really killed action for me was the 2-issue interlude.
Right.
It did take a moment.
And both
of
those issues were terrible.
I liked the first one. The issue 6 with Legion of Superheroes was really misleading. But I thought Rocket Song was pretty good. Where the
kind of Elton John song?
Rocket Man.
But I mean, it kind of gave you the backstory of how the rocket got to Earth, but it also solved a lot of the lingering questions over, is Krypto alive, yes or no? How did the government get the rocket? He's in the Phantom Zone.
I can't wait to see him come back. Krypto.
I'm sure it sounded good.
On that note, jeez.
Oh, yeah. But, no, I thought Action 8 was great. I can't wait for issue 9. I can't wait for issue 10. Because issue 10, like I said, issue 6, we had this weird time travel issue, but I think Morrison started... He's telling a time travel story, but he's telling it chronologically from the character's perspective. So instead of a time travel story where we say, oh, I have to go back in time, and then the end of the story is about going back in time, the beginning of the story is
We don't
is
need a soundboard.
Up.
Ryan is our soundboard.
Remember, though, this is Grant Morrison.
Oh, yeah.
Every single Superman story he's ever written...
It counts.
It's one long narrative.
But I've been trying to reconcile that with the new 52 stuff, because, I mean, everything he wrote from, like, JLA was his Superman story leading into... DC 1 Million, which was really just a disguised Superman story, which was touched on in All-Star Superman, but...
And there was one thing before... there's another thing from before Justice League that he wrote that supposedly ties in. I think just like a one-off issue.
Yeah, but I don't know where this can or will fit into his narrative. It seems like he tries to adapt everything that he writes of anything to flow together, regardless of any reboots or any crises or anything like that, but... time will tell with this.
How did DC 1 Million fit with All-Star Superman?
The whole thrust...
One of the Supermen that shows up in... Like, you know,
in
the...
Six.
Yeah,
the, six. The whole thrust of DC 1 Million was that Vandal Savage is trying to get a hold of a piece of kryptonite because in the year 1 Million, Superman had gone into the sun and hadn't come out. He made the sun his fortress of solitude. So he thinks if he shoots this piece of kryptonite into the sun, he'll kill Superman forever.
Hmm.
And at the end, Superman emerges and he's all... golden, like he appears in All-Star Superman, and he restarts New Krypton and recreates everyone that ever died from Krypton and brings Lois back to life 1 million years in the future.
And remember what happens at the end of All-Star Superman. He goes into the sun.
Oh my goodness.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the sound of someone getting Grant Morrison.
Yeah, there you go. Because in the flashback issue of All-Star Superman, when Superman goes back in time to visit his father before he dies, the golden Superman that comes back to talk to him is Superman Prime from DC 1 Million. And Superman's like, wait, which one of my ancestors are you, or which one of my descendants are you? And Superman Prime just laughs and says, ha ha, don't worry about that, because he's actually the same person.
Oh, man! Oh, man!
Yeah.
I gotta reread it.
What is that again?
What, DC 1 Million?
DC 1 Million.
I never read that.
It was a really great Justice League arc that never got collected in the...
It was collected.
It got collected in a trade, but it didn't get collected in the Grant Morrison hardcover deluxe editions. They collected the JLA 1 Million issue, but not the 4 DC 1 Million. Go pick them up. They're good. From Pittsburgh Comics.
He only has Broly 1.
Oh, no. He's got them all.
Yeah, I'm sure he does.
He got all.
Colin has everything.
Oh, all the issues?
The 1 million issues.
I have the Lobo one.
Oh, he's got issues.
Have...
There was a 1 million issue for every
every book. That was their like a fifth week event.
Yeah,
when they used to do those.
Mm-hmm.
I wish they'd do those.
And introduced Android Hourman.
Has anybody been reading All Star Western?
Yes.
I know a lot of people aren't enjoying it. I don't know how anybody else is feeling about it, but I actually like the end stories.
I feel like
lot.
I gotta look into it again.
Mm-hmm. The Nighthawk and Cinnamon.
Yeah, I kind of like the Nighthawk. I mean, it's a beginning story of Nighthawk, but I thought it was kind of cool.
Now you know the backstory that Geoff Johns gave for Nighthawk and Cinnamon, right?
No.
What, that amulet that they give Jonah Hex? Nighthawk and Cinnamon are one of Carter Hall's past lives. Geoff Johns did that, so that
that's the old DC.
Well, but in All-Star Western, they give Jonah Hex a medallion of special metal.
Yeah.
Whoa.
So they have nth metal.
So does that make
medallions.
Jonah Hex Hawkman?
Nighthawk and
Might make him levitate, at least, but yeah.
At least
I
like to see how
Nighthawk
the Court of Owls ties into that.
Yeah.
What's that?
How the Court of Owls thing ties into that.
I wasn't really interested in that until they mentioned, and I totally forgot that the Religion of Crime had popped up in that, and they said something about the Religion of Crime versus the Court of Owls, and I was excited again.
Yeah, that's kind of what it seems interesting to me.
It kind of, it's one of those books that doesn't change, and you either like surly Jonah Hex or you don't. I like him.
It wasn't surly Jonah Hex that turned me off. I just thought that they stayed in Gotham too long, and I didn't like the Barbary Ghost.
They could have him in the future.
It's true. Yeah. I don't know, but...
The backups haven't really been doing as much for me, but I've enjoying the story.
Yeah, I'll jump back into it.
I like Amadeus Arkham.
I do like his character. He's a little bit blithering at times. But
what can you tell me about the Barbary Ghost?
What can I tell you about the Barbary Ghost? It was a backup story in a couple issues of All-Star Western that I didn't read.
Oh, man. Why waste the name the Barbary Ghost on a backup story people wouldn't read?
How informative is Ryan?
I think that character existed before this.
Morrison didn't write it, so he doesn't care.
Exactly.
Who cares?
It's
an old, DC Western character. Don't ask me the backstory. I don't know.
I see what Palmiotti and Gray are doing, creating all these Western backstory characters, because there's not a lot of those in DC right now. I mean, we have Jonah Hex and...
Funny thing is, kind of like the same idea with the war stuff, is DC has, like, a huge history of Western characters.
Exactly. They need to bring it back.
What?
Colin, was that...
What did you do?
Was that fist pump over GI combat with dinosaurs?
No, that was...
That made that book sound more interesting to me, actually.
Or how about
really?
Captain America and Hawkeye with dinosaurs?
See, that doesn't do anything.
I didn't think they were fighting dinosaurs.
Yeah, and symbiotes.
And symbiotes.
That's what
Dinosaurs
symbiotes
is pretty cool.
Dinosaur. Well, yeah, if they're together, that does sound awesome.
I don't know if one.
Well, the war that time
and if
forgot,
they killed Hawkeye, that would
frontier.
Be great.
Yeah. They just touched on it in...
The Losers. The Losers came out in Showcase today.
Okay, yeah. I saw that. But Adam and I have been talking about Justice League Beyond. The digital series, and they went to the island
for the war that time forgot.
And I love Superman's line. They were like, where did this island come from? He said, many wars that time forgot have been fought here. And I was like, way too name drop.
Well, that's the thing, though. They don't actually have a name for it.
I think
New Frontier
it was
just
Dinosaur Island.
I don't think it's Dinosaur Island.
Okay. I don't know.
Was that in the Batman one?
It was in Justice League.
Isn't Dinosaur Island the Godzilla thing?
I thought it was Jurassic Park.
Oh, I was thinking of something else.
But anyway, I think in like New Frontier they don't even name it.
the center.
What was the book this
week? It's kind of like Krakoa-ish. Yeah. Though.
What was the book last week where somebody at the end of it like shot a dinosaur?
That was Action number 8. That was the
that
the epilogue. Yeah, because
they were hunted.
Who I think is Mixus Pidlick goes to Nimrod the Hunter, who was mentioned in the future
that's
time
right.
travel
that,
issue,
that's a...
and says, "How would you like to kill someone who can't be killed?" And he says, "Preposterous! That never happens." And then blows out a T Rex's brains. And yeah.
That was awesome.
That Say was his cool. name backwards.
He wasn't a symbiote. T Rex
killed him. Zips him.
I don't either.
Oh, I'll be right back.
I think we got him now. Yeah, I think we got him.
Yeah. we should be writing this though.
Morrison's like, cha-ching.
Right, but the problem
He's
is
like,
he
what
read
are
it.
Smoking?
Oh, yeah, I didn't remember. Yeah.
So, DC Comics, if you're listening, hire Ryan to write the annotated Grant
Morrison
anything.
All day, every day.
Section.
I'm not walking all the way over to Action.
It's right there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because it's Superman Action Comics.
It's, I would annotate classifies everything he's ever written.
No, I think it does say Superman Action
Comics. Just
action
Superman
comics.
In Action Comics.
Yeah, it does.
Detective says Batman in Detective
Comics. It makes
comics.
Me wonder, and I know they do it for a brand thing, because someone who's never read comics is going to be like, Action Comics, I want to read Superman. And
well,
the
they tried but, that
the weekly
Action
thing.
Weekly,
yeah.
And you saw how well that did. So.
But just for like an April Fool's, I want to see like Dead Man in Action Comics, and... fanboys everywhere will rage.
So,
and
it'd be awesome if they didn't solicit that way and Colin ordered like 100 of them.
And then it's like
Superman,
then it's
Grant
like
Morrison.
Written by Grant Morrison for you, and then they're like, oh, psych, it's Brian Michael Bendis.
April Fools!
So, or who's your guy? Dockin.
Robbie Williams.
Yeah, Robbie Williams. Special Dockin.
I know he's not your guy, Dockin, but
yeah,
you know.
Wait, Robbie Williams.
English pop singer, Rob Williams.
Yeah.
So, speaking guy, of yeah. news, we forgot the new anthology series from DC. National
oh,
Comics.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
I, you know, I didn't read
first
it.
First issue
read
by
the,
Jeff no. Lemire talking about Kid Eternity.
I'm excited
oh,
about
cool, because I
it,
like
well,
Kid Eternity. Because who wrote Kid Eternity?
Grant Morrison.
Oh, my God.
They
How's that
fitting
into the
news?
It's supposedly part of the third wave.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Like the next round of
it's
cuts.
It's solicited as of the solicits came
July.
Out this week.
Yeah, it's solicited for July. But
okay.
Basically, what
Did
they're doing
Did it take
is...
over DC Comics Presents?
Oh. They're both solicited.
What they're doing is every issue is going to be a standalone story by a different... team, a different writer and artist team.
So this is Colley Hammer
and
Jeff
Lemire. Yeah, and then they announced a couple other teams and other characters, but I didn't recognize the teams or characters. But I think that's what's exciting about the book is that it's stuff
you're,
that
you're
they know
that
is
wrong.
Way out in the middle of nowhere that people might not think of. You know, so. Are you checking the recording?
We're recording. actually, I was thinking about something a little while back when I threw out the name Hawkeye.
when you were talking about hot guys.
About dinosaurs.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, about dinosaurs and symbiotes and
oh, that's
Hawkeye.
Right.
We were talking,
oh,
okay,
Captain,
I thought of something.
Captain Hawkeye, yeah.
Well, I've been waiting, actually, to mention this. I keep forgetting because
you still haven't
I want to make
yet.
Sure. Yeah, it's been a while since this book came out, though, and I didn't want to ruin it for people, but it's been out for so long. The annuals, Avenger annuals, the Revenger issues.
Oh, yeah.
Never read them.
Nobody read this.
I heard about it. That sounded
okay.
interesting.
Well, what threw me for a loop was Wonder Man. I guess, now Matt, maybe you could figure that out. Are they saying that he is a creation? He was actually...
I don't
he doesn't actually exist?
The problem
well, no,
with
his
those
body,
is there was like 8 months in between them.
His body has been replaced with ionic energy, so he doesn't have like a corporeal body.
I think
oh, I know that's
Force.
How. No, well, that's how he was created altogether.
Right.
No, what I mean is they were saying that basically he just vanished
I mean,
from that cell. And he was supposed to be like something dealing with House of M that the Scarlet Witch brought him back.
I think he's the Phoenix.
Is
Force.
What they were saying.
he
might be.
He is,
because,
he is the AVX cause.
Well, the only thing
he's
is,
serious.
If he was able to come back like that, too, Hawkeye came back in the same way.
And you think Hawkeye's going to
so
disappear?
Maybe Hawkeye's made of bionic energy.
Maybe Hawkeye doesn't really exist.
Maybe that's why he's bald.
He's not real.
Maybe that's why he's bald.
Maybe that's why he changed his costume.
Hawkeye's too awesome to disappear.
That's how he's in 500 issues at one time.
That's how he does it.
He's made of
I don't know, but that part was just really weird because it was like they were throwing out. I like the whole book. I like those annuals really well, the Revenger
right.
stories. But when they had that at the end and then he just vanished from his cell, like
so,
he wasn't even there.
So this is an interesting theory. Maybe the way that Marvel characters are in multiple books is they're all LMDs that they're using to market themselves and make more money.
Well, they might be.
Why what?
Just about every character's had an LMD.
Batman has his crazy own battle.
Bendis is an LMD.
Of robots.
Of that cook guy, Dom DeLuise.
Matt Cook.
Dom DeLuise?
God. Okay, I wasn't paying attention to crap.
How did that get them there?
Well, they pretty well win any yeah. shot of ever getting that guy on this podcast ever.
Dom DeLuise?
I don't think
Peter
DeLuise. Peter
not.
DeLuise, 21 Jump Street.
Okay.
Doesn't Bendis look like Dom DeLuise? Or
yeah.
Like,
I don't want to answer that.
Actually.
Okay.
I don't want there to be a record of that
about what I heard, read about
Bendis
over the weekend on here because it was inappropriate.
Okay. Let's wrap no
it up.
Inappropriate.
I'll
Let's
mention
wrap
it later.
It up.
Sake,
yeah. Get home, watch the end of the Pens game.
Yeah, you kept us here long.
So,
you said.
You guys kept talking.
You could have
So
left.
We will, yeah, we'll attack. Adam wanted to talk about X-Men, so next
yeah,
week we'll focus
for...
on X-Men. Maybe they'll give us a week to think about favorite X-Men storylines, least favorite X-Men storylines.
There are no least favorite X-Men storylines.
Really?
Oh, I'm sure you can think of something bad.
I can think of a couple. So we'll deal with that next week.
Age
and
of X.
I liked Age of X. But we'll talk about this stuff next week. We'll talk to you later.
Bye. Bye.
Buildings in a single bound. Came from out the shadows, cause that's how we get down. I'm in your town. Walk between billionaires and evil scientists. Sorcerer supreme, all the teenagers are buying this. Gamma radiation, nobody could mess with this. Hold steady with venomous symbiotes in my penmanship. Your friendly neighborhood MC back on the scene. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry. All I'm seeing is green and red and blue. I hold the shield for America. When a soldier out Siberia, rocking any microphone that's near to ya. Clobbering it till in a coffin you sit. Agenda for extinction, bring out the horsemen of the apocalypse. Part of an evil brotherhood, acolytes that believe. Super friends who make beats and cats that MC. It's the area code to the planet that we protect. The Infinity Watch is now back in effect. Now, put your hands up like this. For all the vigilantes in the streets taking a risk. For all the heroes undercover ducking, pressing the pigs. For all the villains that he's scheming on that doomsday tip. That's how we do it. Superpowered MC who can spit. That's how we do it. Superhuman on these tracks that I flip. Rings, laser scope, rifles ain't concerned with them other things. These rappers wanna talk about ice chains and fancy cars. Me, I'm trying to build mansion in Asgard. And from the Hellfire Society, studio is Cerebro. Mind patterns and rhyme, cause I rap about what I feel though. You hear the rhythm and you're hearing the track. I'm here to take it back to days of future past in my raps. I'm the Stan Lee of the streets, demand things when I speak. Like your attention and respect when I jam these in the beats. And my tape deck pops, my mixtape still rock. They're in that's what Soundwave's telling me on the block. Ricky Bobby Drake's the only ice that I rock with. And mental telepathy is the only style that I talk with. Close your eyes, you can listen up in your mind. During this song, been freestyling there the whole time. Now, put your hands up like this. For all the vigilantes in the streets taking a risk. For all the heroes undercover ducking, pressing the pigs. For all the villains that he's scheming on that doomsday tip. That's how we do it. Superpowered MC who can spit. That's how we do it. Superhuman on these tracks that I flip. That's how we do it in the 616.
Hey yo, Vince, drop the beat out. I'm gonna go Pietro on these cats, right? Yeah.
Spitting a rhythm that nobody's getting. I'm down to the infinite watches. The wisdom will battle these women and children. I'm ripping tracks. I go Mark 5 with a power pack. Hawkeye, what I'm aiming at. Stop time, watch your chain react. Can't lie, I'm a brainiac. Little they know, I'm stealing the show. I'm filling the streets, unlimited flow. The second of Doc Ock when I'm killing it, yo. Please, shots to your chest. You're rocking a vest like Cable did. I'm hungry as Wally West at a kitchen table. Nobody will save you, kid. I'm Frank with a gun. I'm Hank with his son. I'm Rob when I skip lunch eating rappers, man. So thanks for the gum. I'm Stark's wallet back before all these banks had a run. I'm Lex Luthor when I rap. I'm trying to blank out the sun. Cause all I see are friendly faces and shifty eyes. Keeping these anonymous commenters honest. Making them realize. You love to hate me on the net when I try. That's why you get no love when you're up on my block. Now, put your hands up like this. For all the vigilantes in the streets taking a risk. For all the heroes undercover ducking, pressing the pigs. For all the villains that he's scheming on that doomsday tip. That's how we do it. Superpowered MC who can spit. That's how we do it. Superhuman.